On 1116 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. The Ultimate Rap is the program where we try to bring you up to date with everything that's happened in the world of sport in the last 24 or so hours. So if you've just woken up on a Sunday morning, sit back in bed, have a cup of tea, and tune in to myself and George Denikian, who joins me for the next 60 minutes. Good morning, George.
Good morning, and can I just say, I reckon to all those Collingwood fans, the spirit of Lou Richards has just come back and delivered a very special present and surprise before he leaves us for good. What an amazing camera.
Good comeback.
Oh, I watched the first quarter. I thought Hawthorn are going to clean them up.
Oh, it was
six goals at the end of the first quarter, and I thought, gee, Collingwood, what's happening, guys?
Yep.
And suddenly, from then on, don't ask me how it happened. It did happen.
Well, let's find out how it did happen, because Brett Anderson from SEN Inside Football joins us on the line to have a chat about that and other games.
How did
as
it
well.
Happen?
How did it happen, Brett?
Oh, they probably started to play a bit like they should have been playing in the first quarter, didn't they? They are pretty poor in the first quarter, the Magpies, but you can't take anything away from Hawthorn the way they started the game. They're outstanding. It's just,
what do we make of Hawthorn?
They're not very good. And that's the thing, when you look at the team that they had out there last night, with the injuries that they had,
it was a remarkable
start. Yeah, it was a remarkable start to the game. And then the two late changes before the game with O'Brien going out and Heavily coming in. And there's another player who went out as well. So they had the two of them late who came out of the side. So they it wasn't the Hawthorn team that you looked at 2 years ago and looked at with any great fear. And I think there was only 10 premiership players from 2015 playing in that team. And that's 2 years ago. We're talking 12 players aren't there, whether they've retired, they've been traded, or they're just not in the team, or they're injured. So it's a totally different looking Hawthorn or Hawthorn outfit. And I guess Collingwood, they needed something like it was almost like they needed that little needling to get them into gear at quarter time. But look, Hawthorn were amazing there for the first quarter and a bit. And it just took Collingwood a while to edge back into the game and edge back in. And eventually, they ran them down.
Plenty of needle.
Yeah, I thought they had this. I had this thought at three-quarter time about Hawthorn sort of been in that situation before where they've built up a strong lead. They did it against Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. Melbourne fought really hard to get back into the game and then weren't able to finish it off. And I had this thought that maybe Collingwood might suffer the same fate. But in the end, they probably just had a few fresher legs and they were able to win some key contests, especially in midfield where they really got on top. And I thought Scott Pendlebury played a massive role in getting Collingwood back into the game. And in fact, I know he had 14 less possessions than Tom Mitchell in the end. Tom Mitchell had 50 on the night, Pendlebury 36, but I would have taken Pendlebury's 36 every day of the week.
I was going to ask you about Tom Mitchell, 50 possessions, I think it was 28 handballs, 22 kicks. Gee, there's been a lot of comment on social media in regards to those 50 possessions and just how good they were. I think he had 70% effectiveness, so it wasn't too bad.
No, absolutely, and you can't knock him for winning the footy, and without him, that probably is a totally different ball game, and especially at the start, like he was the one who got Hawthorn going, so they wouldn't have been in the position they were in without Tom Mitchell, and he was fantastic all night. I just thought in the end that in terms of what Pendlebury was able to bring to the table with his touches and bringing his team back into it, people talk about metres gained, and that's like that. I think Pendlebury had double the amount of metres gained than what Tom Mitchell did, but they're two different players, really, and they play the game in a different way. But he was outstanding. Again, 50 possessions, you can't knock it. It's just in the end, it wasn't quite enough because he didn't have enough teammates who were able to consistently provide some support for him throughout the night.
I remember Malcolm Blight once saying against Robert Harvey, we don't care how many possessions he gets, he's not going to hurt us. And he didn't, but he used to rack up so many possessions, it was amazing.
Mm. Yeah, it was Bucks last night in the press game and in the post game.
Did he say the same thing?
About how he never thought there was a stage where they needed to do something about it. But he's had 40 before when he was coaching in the WA under-18s, when he was in the under-18s system and under-16 system, and then 50 last night. But there was never a stage that he felt like it was getting out of control. And I think that says a little bit when a coach feels like right that way. Mm. But on the other hand, Alistair Clarkson came out with a good point that obviously something was going wrong at the start to be six goals in front, and Tom Mitchell was the one who was orchestrating a lot of that stuff. So it's funny how two coaches see the game. I'll be really interested midweek when the AFL Coaches Association votes come out to see just how Tom Mitchell is rated, because I think you might see a vast discrepancy between the two.
I think you might too. A good win to Adelaide over Brisbane, 80 points. They never really seem to be in trouble.
Oh, and slow starting. They started slowly.
Yeah, but they never seem to be in trouble. They always seem to have a
that was
finger.
That close enough for a while there. But I think down one too, boys, in Hugh Greenwood, former basketballer who came off the rookie list and came in and kicked three goals in the first half. Ended up with three, but about 15 or 16 possessions. 190-centimetre player, so he's got some really good size about him. Very good athlete. Tackled really well last night. So the Crows, whilst they've had a bit of a slump over the last 2 weeks, it's given the opportunity to bring some players into the team. We saw Josh Jenkins go back to the sandpool yesterday. But Hugh Greenwood comes in and looked at home for the minute that he stood out to the onto the Gabba last night. So they've found one, which is a good result for the Crows.
Speaking of looking at home, did the Tigers look like they were home at any stage?
Settled down.
How is Richard Exeter looking across from you there, George, this morning?
He's crying. He is feeling it.
I couldn't believe that. I think at three-quarter time, GWS just didn't look like it. It wasn't that you thought, oh, Richmond could stuff this up. It was more that GWS could not sort of get anything going. And
it was the exact reverse to last week, though, wasn't it? It was like GWS were Richmond and Richmond were Frio last week. They could not have had a worse three quarters, GWS.
No, they were horrible for three quarters. And Richmond had done everything right. And it's funny how momentum swings can sort of change elements in a game. And a couple of those misses at the start of the last quarter by Richmond with Dustin Martin. I think Castagna missed one as well.
Martin kicked one into the man on the mark. That was just...
Yeah, exactly. It just sort of changed a bit of momentum. And it thought, oh, hang on. And as soon as... It's a funny thing, mindset in footy. And it's almost like that mindset seeped into the Richmond players that, oh, no, not again. Or this could happen again. Because
Isn't it like an arm wrestle where you're sitting there holding and you're almost you can see that you're just got enough,
yeah.
And once you sense that you've got the other person, suddenly the momentum is in your favour.
Yeah, it was a really bizarre game.
That's how I saw it.
Yeah,
but I still couldn't believe the result.
You could never see that coming at three quarter time with the way both teams were going about it. Richmond had been outstanding. They basically put every foot where it needed to be. They hadn't put a foot wrong. And GWS, on the other hand, didn't look like getting anything going. They had Rory Lobb off the ground injured. So they thought, how are they going to be able to generate scores? Yes, Jeremy Cameron's going to be able to kick goals if he gets the opportunity. But Alex Rance was so dominating behind the footy yesterday that you just thought that there's no way that Richmond are going to be able to hand this one over. And then even when Shai Bolton's kick was touched, you thought, well, at least they've had 30 seconds to set up for a kick in. Yeah, the players might have gone back to the middle, but so had the GWS guys. So they at least had players in the right spot. And then the punch on from Mummy. And the minute that the punch on, the knock on went forward, you had this awful feeling in your stomach that you knew what was going to happen. And when Jeremy ran onto it and kicked the goal, Richmond supporters, I absolutely felt for them, including you, Shiv Extra.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate your thoughts.
I can only imagine.
Mate, I normally don't hear from him on a Saturday. And all I heard for a half an hour was, we got wobbed. We got wobbed.
Well, no, and I don't know if we got robbed or not.
No,
but we shouldn't have lost the game. All I want to say, though, is if an umpire is going to overturn a decision, and this isn't a Richmond supporter speaking, this is just a general thing. If an umpire is going to overturn a decision at such a crucial point of the match, he has to be 100%
certain. So what you're saying, we need ultra high definition.
Well, I don't know what we need, but you've got to be 100% certain that it was definitely touched. And I don't know if you could have been 100% certain, but maybe 90%, and maybe it looked like there was a finger. It looked like there was a finger that moved, but there was no certainty that you could say that that actually happened.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Look, I thought it was clearly touched, but I can understand the point there that you need to be definitive and 100% certain. And I think at times it's pretty hard to get 100% certainty with that one, I thought.
Well, then you don't overturn it. It's...
Yeah,
you just don't. If it's not 100% certain, don't overturn it. You can't, because there was an umpire standing 5 metres away from the contest. He didn't call touch. The goal umpire thought it was fine. He called the goal.
Yep.
How can this bloke who's got a vision of a wide shot from a camera that sits up in the stand say, yes, I'm 100% certain that that is a touch?
It had a double effect. It basically gave them a chance to sniff. That they didn't have to
once again though,
that goal.
But I don't care that it happened to Richmond. Oh, I do care it happened to Richmond, but it's just the game in general.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
If that decides a grand final down the track,
well,
the
hang
uproar.
On. We have had a grand final, not basically turn on a score, but I remember Geelong being given a goal against St Kilda a number of years ago, and the ball came off the post.
It certainly did, George. I was standing right behind that goal, behind the goals at the punt road end. And
did Sav Rocker ever kick that goal?
Far off a post and a goal umpire not see it. But in the end, look, I guess if you don't put yourself in the situation where it can come down to a situation like that, well, it's a different story. Richmond
Correct.
Should never have let GWS back in the game the way that they did. And it's just unfortunate. I think we saw a goal review at the other end. Alex Rance had one where it flicked his finger, and that was clearly definitive. Like, that was 100%. You could see his finger move. Look, I thought Perryman certainly touched it, and I understand the point that you're making, Shebexter. You probably make a solid point on that one in terms of being 100% sure. Mm. But I think the umpire must have been as close to 100% sure that was touched. Yeah. And that's the difficult part. Because if you're 99% or 100%, is that going to be the difference between saying yes or no? And that's the hard part when we're coming to goal reviews. Like, this hasn't been in the game for 100 years, and now we're finding ourselves that it's in the game. And
correct me if I'm wrong, though, Brett.
How many goals would have been overturned in the past? How many Tony Lockett's?
Well, Sav Rocker's was never overturned, was it?
No.
Well, it was overturned in the grand final, wasn't it? Everyone thought he'd scored in the game against the Brisbane. Remember years ago?
Oh, Anthony Rocker. Yeah.
Anthony Rocker, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
That was the one where that went over the post. And
there are Collingwood people who tell me that was a definite goal.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously it was the goal umpire thought different. So, look, it hasn't been in the game for a long time. It is in the game now. Is it going to be 100% perfect? No. Do we have to accept that? Yeah, we probably do.
All right. Well, let's move on then. Let's move on to the Saints, who are not too good against Sydney. And you talk about momentum and you talk about confidence in a game of football. And I was heard one of the commentators say yesterday that they sort of felt a little bit for Paddy McCartan, because he's in this position at the moment, Paddy McCartan, where he is in two minds about going for the footy. He doesn't want to go for the footy, and he feels that if he drops the mark or doesn't take the ball, that that's going to have an adverse effect against his selection for next week. So he's not going 100%. And that's really sad to see from a top draft pick.
Perfect segue, Shebexter. Because St Kilda supporters yesterday, they were embarrassing. And look, I've got an affiliation with St Kilda, and I've spoken to St Kilda supporters about this last night. The way that they Bronx cheered and jeered every time Paddy went near the ball in the second half, you're not helping the kid's confidence.
No, you undermine it.
If you want him to be to live up to his potential and get to where we think he can be, and
supporting.
I certainly think he can be watching him as a junior, the way that they treat him when he's having a bad day, it's embarrassing. And they need to be better than that. And St Kilda were really poor yesterday. But you're not doing the kid's confidence any good at all with the Bronx cheers and the jeers every time he goes near the ball and the size. If he doesn't pick it up or if he doesn't mark it, he's a kid. Give him an opportunity. Yeah. And
the reality is they do. It does make an impact. It does make an impact. The player can feel it.
Absolutely. And when you can hear it through the effects mic on TV, he can certainly hear it out in the ground. Just thought yesterday, give the kid an opportunity. And if you want him to live up to what he can potentially be, they're not helping the way that they Bronx cheer him at the moment. And look, Sydney were really good yesterday, and they were back to their powerful best with the footy that they played. And Buddy broke open in the last quarter with a couple of goals and a couple of specials. But outside of that, it was the midfield power. It was Dan Hannabury getting four kicking goals early. Kennedy was back to his best. Mm. Luke Parker had a good game. Harry Cunningham was really important early too. And I just thought that yesterday that was the Sydney performance we've been waiting to see all year and probably expecting all year.
Yeah, it's the midfield back
9
on.
Weeks to get going. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They were outstanding yesterday. St Kilda off their tucker. They turned the footy over. I think a couple of those outs off halfback really hurt them in terms of Jimmy Webster going. Dan McKenzie came in and probably played a bit like it was a VFL game at stages yesterday. It really took him some time to get up to the tempo of it. A few turnovers early, which ended up costing goals the other way.
Well, they're going to learn. They're going to learn from that, aren't they, St Kilda?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, St Kilda are a young side still. Yep. And they're going to have weeks like that where it sort of drops off. And I think we all support teams at stages where we understand that not every week are you going to get that perfect performance. And unfortunately for St Kilda, it just didn't quite come together. And the opposition were far too good on the day. And look, they're starting to look a little bit ominous now. It seems they started the round, I guess, in 15th. And they might nearly be the big one that you've got to keep an eye on in terms of
the big mover.
Forward. And yeah, because they've still got the quality there. You look at that team yesterday, they added Will Hayward in. He played his part. He's playing some decent footy for them as well. So they're managing to regenerate their team on the fly. They had a poor start, 0-6, but they're starting to get things together now. And it's such a compressed and even season. You can't rule them out from here on in.
I think you're absolutely right. Yep. And the coaches, coaching fraternity there, that group, they really do handle it, the pressure very well. and no one has panicked. And look at them. They're building, 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 as you'd alluded to, and they're looking good.
Listening to Tomo this morning with Peter Donegan on This Is Your Sporting Life and talking about St Kilda and being a director down there and everything, and he just put up a really good point about Alan Richardson, the fact that he is just a really good coach in the way that he talks to the kids and the way that
speaks
to them, and the way that when they come off the ground, how he just pulls them aside and just says a bit of a word about what's happening. He really is the right bloke for the job, and really is the right bloke, I think, that can take this club back into some sort of a powerhouse in the competition.
Yeah, look, everyone that you speak to that's had something to do with Richo, whether it be at East Burwood, to Collingwood, to Port Adelaide, to Essendon, all the stops that he's had, to Carlton. Yeah. No one says a bad word about him, and I think that comes across in his work in the media too. I think he's a great performer in the media and a match day coach. I think he's getting better and better and better. And look, St Kilda is certainly in good hands there, and no doubt they'll bounce back. They've got a few older players who are, yesterday were off the ball a little bit. Lee Montagna had a bad day. Nick Riewoldt certainly looks sore. I think the bye can't come quick enough for those two guys, just to freshen up their bodies a little bit. But in the end, they were beaten by a better side on the day. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No shame in that.
That's Sydney team.
Three games today to wrap up the round. Two on SEN. We'll kick it off at 1:10. We'll go there at 12 o'clock. Essendon versus West Coast at Etihad Stadium. And the final game of the day, Fremantle Carlton coming to us from Perth. And then in between that, Melbourne and North Melbourne at the MCG. Thoughts?
Essendon West Coast is going to be an interesting game.
Cracker game, I reckon.
The Eagles coming over here. And I think they play Etihad obviously better than they do the MCG. But against the Bombers team, they got some confidence last week. I'm really looking forward to heading there today and covering that with SEN and the rest of the boys. And I think it's going to be a cracking game. So
I think Essendon at home will win it.
Yeah, I've tipped West Coast, but that's more just on. I think there's a little bit more quality there.
Yep.
I think the small forwards for Essendon are going to play a big part today. And you look at McDonald's, Tipper Woody's in good form. Fantasia's running about up there as well. I just think they've got the ability maybe at ground level to really scare West Coast when the ball hits the ground. West Coast aren't super quick down back. So I think that's an area they could certainly look at.
They'll expose it. They will. That speed will make a difference.
I saw that round one against North at Etihad, guys. But, Jared Waite kicked 0-7 or whatever, but it was at ground level at times that North looked really dangerous with their small. So looking forward to seeing how that goes today. Speaking of North and Melbourne, North have got a great record over the D's lately. And as a Melbourne supporter, I said, I hope that ends today because it's been far too long. I think I was still in school the last time they
What is it? Do they play them well? Do they man up against them well? They've done it for a long time.
No, it's generally just they've been better than Melbourne, and that sort of helps. But it's an interesting one. The midfield's generally been on top. Last year down in Hobart, Todd Goldstein had to kick five, but Max Gawn was really good again. So Goldstein would certainly be relishing the opportunity to take on Melbourne without Max Gawn. Jared Waite's the key. Comes back into the side today. They've got a great record when he's in the team. They've got a poor record when he's not in the team. It'll be interesting to see what Melbourne do with the matchup on him because Tom McDonald we saw go forward last week and provided a really good option at centre forward. Do they move him back? There's some real decisions to be made for Simon Goodwin today, but based on what we saw from Melbourne last week, you would think that they should win the game because that was a powerful effort. It's just a case of that thing called expectation that Gary's been going on about for a while, and he's 100% right when it comes to Melbourne. If they can handle the expectation today, they should win the game, but that's going to be the big watch out of the game today.
What do you make of Simon Goodwin?
He's going okay. Yeah, he's going okay. I think the team selection in the last couple of weeks has been a little bit better with Dean Kent coming back into the team. I think he's really important for that side, and it's just getting the balance right. And as I mentioned, that forward half's going to be interesting today to see the way they set that up, because certainly when McDonald went forward last week, it changed things around. Petrarca going middle as well. But he's got some options down back that he might need to cover today, so that luxury might not be handed to him. But I guess last week with the Adelaide forward line, you would have thought they would have needed all hands on deck too, but they didn't need to. So it's going to be an interesting game today at the G. Melbourne probably playing Etihad better than what they are the MCG, so they probably need to take their form from interstate and other grounds back to where they normally play their best footy.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for your time as always. Brett, we'll talk again next week.
No worries, boys.
Brett Anderson, SEN Inside Football, joining us. VFL results from yesterday also. Werribee defeating North Ballarat by 5 points. Essendon, big winners by 89 points over Coburg. Northern defeating Sandringham by 38 points. Geelong, 12 points ahead of Footscray at the final siren, and Box Hill doing a number on Collingwood. That game being played at Olympic Park, actually. That was a 26-point margin also. We'll take a break. Back to talk some rugby league in just a tick.